I'll come to my talk about Dragit, the generic Indodramafest infrastructure. It's currently a replacement for MCAR InitRD Nash in Fedora 12 and will be in RHEL 6 and all the other Fedora distributions coming after Fedora 12. So we replaced this hard-coded Nash with a flexible shell script system, modular. It uses all the tools which are installed on your system. Normal, nothing hard-coded, nothing self-cooked. It's event-based with UDEV. So we have UDEV in the Indodramafest and can use all the features UDEV provides us. We try to be very generic so that you can just port it to your distribution. It's not our package manager dependent or path dependent. It should be generic across hardware because we install nearly all device drivers for Ethernet cards or disk drivers. So you can just pull out your disk, put it in another computer, and start the system right away. We try not to hard code too much for some strange corner cases for LVM and MD raids or whatever stuff. It's needed to hard code some configuration files or whatever because auto recognition doesn't work always like it should be. So the targets for Dragit was to are to boot any system on any hardware with the same Indodramafest image. Also useful maybe for a cluster. And to be easy to extend and customize for you administrators or developers for other distributions. We've already Dragit is very modular, so I'm talking about modules which are included in Dragit. There are modules for internationalization, for network, for the Fedora Bootsplash Plymouth, for Crypt Lux, for DM RAID, LVM, MD RAID, for live images created with Device Manager, Squash, Fiber Channel over Ethernet, iSCSI, NBD, NFS to resume from saved swap images, normal block devices to boot from normal block devices, and several S390 specific modules we also include. So how to create your InitRamFS? Red Hat users or Fedora users know the MCAR InitRD command, so you try to keep it the same way. You specify the image on the kernel version and some options. So just to show you some command line options, you can explicitly specify the modules you want to use or just omit some modules and keep the default modules. You can add, for example, debug modules or your own modules for specific environments. You can specify kernel drivers, the exact list, or you can add kernel drivers to the RAMFS image. You can add file systems or specify the exact file systems. You can specify which kernel directory to use, where to look for firmwares. You can specify that you only want the kernel modules and firmware files in one image, and you can also specify not to include it. So you can produce two images, and if you have another kernel, you just replace the kernel image from the boot image. And as you may know, you can specify two images on a grub line, on the grub bootloader. So the kernel just loads, for example, the base image and then overloads this file system with the other image. So you have an overlay. So you can, in theory, you can specify like three, four images and they all get overlaid with config files or whatever stuff you want. Either on the grub command line or you just can concatenate them as one file. And the kernel automatically recognizes the end of the images and overlays every image in one thing. Then we have some command switches, which config files to add. And if you want to strip the binaries and the kernel modules from the debug symbols, or not, if you want to debug failures in the init RAMFS when a driver gets loaded or whatever. You can add special, you can specify the config file. And for development purposes, you have a local mode where you can have your Dragged modules in the current directory. Then you have the host-only mode, which is very nice if you want to keep the same file size of the init-ramfs image as you had with mkinitld. So in the host-only mode, which can also be specified in the config file /etc/dragged-conf, we do not include every module, every device driver, whatever, only those which are installed on your system. And it recognizes, yes?
Yeah, does it guess firmwares that you need?
It loads, it sees which modules have to be loaded, and each module has a firmware with mod allies. You can see which firmware it needs, and this will be also packed in. And you end up with an image the same size as the mkinitld NESH. And if you include every driver, you end up with approximately 15 megabytes, and with the host-only mode, it normally stays at 5 megabytes. But you don't have the flexibility to, well, change hardware or whatever. For the normal user, it's not very comfortable to boot into a rescue disk and reinstall the initrd with the current hardware or whatever. Then, for special cases, you can include files, install files, additional files, config files, whatever. You can specify that on the command line. Then configuration files, you have basically the same parameters as you can specify on the command line. Then, so you have a generic image, and now you have no configuration files in that init RAMFS image. So you have to define every parameter on the kernel command line. Current kernel command line takes about, 1,024 chars, so there's enough space. And maybe there's a bug in grub which prevents to use every char of that. Maybe it's only 256 or something like that. But in theory, you should be able to use 1,024 chars, and that's enough to specify everything. Like, where's my root? You can specify the direct path as you were used to. You can specify it by label, by UUID, or even by the slot, the PCI slot. Because we use UDEF, we can just use the symbolic links UDEF provides us. We can specify the file system type, which is normally automatically recognized, but if you want to maybe mount your X3 with X2, maybe it works. Or the other way around. Then you can pass root flags, whatever you want. To make life easier, you can also install the FS tab from the system. For sure, then you don't have to specify any root flags because it's already written in the FS tab. Very important, if you have a buggy module or you want to maybe load the NVIDIA binary kernel video driver, is to blacklist some kernel modules and to force loading of another kernel module. Very easy. Then if you develop for Draket or you have a problem with it, it's very nice to know how to debug it. So we have several options for the kernel command line. That's rdinfo. You get more information what Draket is doing anyway. With RD shell, you get dropped to a dash or a bash, whatever shell you installed, and can try to debug and mount any partition by hand and copy over information. With RD init debug, you get the whole shell script debug in dmessage and /init.log in the init RAMFS. And the dmessage messages are passed over to the real, when you have switched root, are passed over and you can look after the messages, the debug messages later on. With RD break, you can force it to drop to the shell if you want to, and just debug at a certain point of stage in the init RAMFS. And as you see, there are several points in the, like the command line parsing before UDEF, before triggering UDEF, before I come later to the init queue, before mounting, after mounting, and before switching to the real root. You can break there to a shell and debug what's going on. Then you can set the UDEF log level info. You can set the network scripts into debug mode because it's very difficult to send any debugging messages from UDEF triggered scripts. Well, it has changed in the meanwhile, but it's a historic option. Then for all the modules, like LVM, we have specific options. If you, normally LVM is automatically recognized with the LVM scan and activates everything it finds. If you want to prevent that it activates anything, you can just say activate only these volume groups, activate only these logical volumes, and it will not touch the other stuff. Same goes for cryptolooks. You can switch it off completely if you know I have nothing encrypted stuff there, don't look after it. Maybe if you plug in a USB stick which is encrypted and you try to boot, it asks you for the password because root can be on it in theory. So if you want to prevent that, you just specify I have, my root system is not encrypted, and you will never be asked for a password. Or you can specify the exact UUID of the Lux partition, and for well, because when you are asked for a password, you want to know which partition, which volume is this, what the system is asking for. We included a crypt tab, and you can turn it off that it does not use the crypt tab. For MD, same thing, turn it completely off, then don't use the configuration file, which might be in the init RAMFS, so you have the, in case the automatic assembly of MD does not work, which it does not in certain cases. We have such special configurations sometimes where you have to copy over the MDLM conf from the real system because automatic assembly does not work. Or you can specify which partitions, which UUIDs, MD UUIDs it should only look at. Same thing for DIM RAID. Then for network, for booting over NFS, iSCSI, or whatever, you have to set up your network cards. You can specify that it gets the IP from DHCP or DHCP6 or IPv6 auto configuration. You can do that explicitly for interfaces. You can bind the interfaces to a MAC address, the naming. You can specifically set the IPs and the network mask and the host name. You can set which is the default interface, and you can specify the main service you want to use. Then the NFS options are the basic options, which are historically server IP, rootgear, and options. And we extended that with NFS and NFS4 so that it gets clearer what is meant. You can also say root is, you get root from DHCP, and the DHCP server serves the root path in the old form. Same thing goes for iSCSI, except that for iSCSI you can have a gazillion of options, which are very strange to fit in one string. Or you take the easy way and specify root equals UUID whatever and iSCSI firmware, because in some BIOS you can specify the iSCSI parameters, everything you can specify in the firmware, and then just reads it from the firmware and you don't have to pass all those parameters. Then we have fiber channel over Ethernet and MBD, same thing, very easy to use. So, and now I tell you a little bit about the internals of Draket. Draket starts up, creates some basic device nodes, mounts, / sys, do some symlinks. Then the hooks are there to call shell scripts from the modules. So you're free to put in any shell scripts at these hook points. So there are two hook points after the basic setup. This is command line, where you can just pass the command line and switch on, switch off UDEF rules, or switch on, switch off some other shell scripts. Then we have the pre-UDEF hook, where UDEF is already started. Oh no, that's the pre-trigger, but anyway. You have it started, then you can hook in the pre-trigger, trigger specific whatever UDEV you want devices. Then the everything is triggered for UDEV. Then the whole rule, whatever thing is going on, and we enter the init queue. Because we cannot do everything from UDEV rules, I had to think about a system how to specify jobs which have to be done but can't be done in the from the UDEV workers. So you can offload, you can basically we have a batch system. So from the UDEV rule you only say, here, I have a job for you, batch it up and work on it while UDEV is doing its thing in the background. And this init queue is worked on until UDEV has settled. And then there are some conditions where the init queue can be finished. You can put there any conditions, any shell script. It's like a directory where you can put in shell scripts which specify if you are done, if you have found root, if you have configured the iSCSI network card, iSCSI thing, or triggered the NBD, whatever, syskernel options. And once these conditions are met, like we found the root device, the root partitions, the init queue will be left. Then we have some hooks, pre-mount, mount, and pre-pivot. After we found the root device, it's mounted. And then switch root is executed and we turn to the real root. And the real init is called afterwards. So in this init queue, you can have normal jobs. You can put from a UDEV rule, say we have found an LVM member. So I put in the job to run LVM from this batch system to scan for volumes. I put it, but I don't want to scan for it immediately. I want to wait until UDEV has finished and we have collected all LVM members UDEV found on your system so that we can only run LVM once and not for every partition we find on the way through UDEV scanning triggering. So I introduced the settled init queue where you can put in your jobs after UDEV has settled. And normally if you maybe do LVM scan, you find some LVM partitions and the whole UDEV triggering begins loops because now UDEV events are sent out for the LVM partition you've just created. And we begin from the beginning until our finished conditions are met. And to batch those jobs into the init queue, I created a small binary which you can call from the UDEV rules. You can call that that job only one time or every time it loops through it. You can wait until UDEV has settled, or you can add a finished rule, or if you want to give it a unique job name, normally it's just a number which counts up, it's a process ID. You can give it a name and then it's only installed once. For example, LVM scanning, you only want to scan once not for every partition you found, so I specify it as a unique job which has a name LVM scan, so that it LVM scan is not run like five times for every LVM partition found. The Draket modules have three basic files. It's install kernel, because of the kernel and non-kernel images we may want to build, I split it up into install and install kernel, and a check. The install is a normal shell script, like I will show you later. Install kernel also. The check is for are all conditions met to install this module? Are all dependencies resolved? And if you want to build host only, do we need this module? So a simple install file from the network looks like cracket install, IP, DHCP client, bridge control, and rping, for example. Cracket install searches in the normal paths for the binaries, looks with LDB which libraries are needed to run those binaries, and all these are installed like they are on the host system, so it's very much distribution independent. And we have a normal inst command where you can install custom scripts from your module directory to a place in the initramfs. Then we have inst hook, where you can install, for example, here a pre-UDEF hook with priority 50 to generate interface name rules. Then we have a hook with priority 91, which parses the DHCP command line parameters, and so on. In the install kernel, for example, we have normal commands like install module ECB, ARC4, or whatever you want to specify. Or we can even filter with a very easy function, all network drivers which have these symbols, or unwanted drivers like we normally don't boot over wireless or over ISDN or whatever network drivers we don't need in 99.9% of all cases. So we can have filter functions for kernel modules. And here's an example for a check shell script module. We pass -d if we want the dependency. Here I have the NFS check script, which needs network. So the network module will be installed also. Very simple dependency. Then in case of the host only, we, for example, here grabs are in prop mounts if the root system is mounted over NFS. Otherwise, we exit with one instead of zero. Then we check if some important binaries are available, and if not, exit with one. Otherwise, everything is okay with zero. Then for testing, for developing new modules, you can just copy over some existing test suites we have already in Dracut. We use QEMU KVM mode if it's installed. Currently, we cover basic modules like LVM, DMRate, and so forth. And client-server communication is done over the QEMU's internal network, so we can do NFS boot and whatever in QEMU, and iSCSI, and really nice. Works most of the time. If QEMU doesn't break the network, or which happened, or the initramfs loading stuff, which also broke a time ago. So, Dracut, for other use cases for just booting a risk distribution are, for example, cluster setups, where you want to, where you have different hardware, but you only want to generate your image one time, can use that for our rescue system. You could easily build a rescue system. For example, we have our debug module, which just copies over some important, nice to have commands like SSH or whatever. You can build a full-fledged rescue system with Draket. You can use it for crash dumps. KExec tools uses it. Or special hardware, all PC uses it because it has a special layout where you have to do special mounts, whatever, to run, to start the old PC laptop. And if you want to participate, you can just join us on IRC Freenode in the Draket channel, or you can check out the Draket Git. It's everything is on the SourceForge. There's also a track instance with a wiki where you can look. And on the Fedora wiki, there's lots of help about Draket. Just search for it. And we are using the initramfs mailing list on kernel.org for patches. But if you just search for Draket and initramfs, you get all the links. So I say thank you for listening. And do you have any questions? Yes.
Yeah. In the case of wanting to fast boot, you know, wanting the best possible boot out of my netbook, best boot time, first is there,
do
is
not,
there
do not
beyond
use
the host bus
at all? Do not use. That's the fastest
way. Yes,
that's
one possibility. But assuming that for some reason I have to, how do we minimize? Because there is a cost. I mean, this modularity and all the callbacks and all of that gives you great flexibility, but there's a cost in including and executing all of that. How fast can we make it?
The whole whatever stuff UDEV triggering is all can all be avoided if you have a normal primary partition or extended partition without any encryption, without any LVM stuff. Then you get immediately to the point where you where the device node is present, and you skip the whole thing, and it's the whole machinery of LVM detection or ND RAID or whatever is not executed at all. So that would be the fastest way to just have a primary partition or a normal partition without any LVM or whatever.
Okay, and your current interpreter is Bash, right? Or
no, it's Dash. So it's POSIX shell.
Yeah. Okay, because I actually did a little bit of work on the Draket for OLPC. I'm part of the OLPC project.
Oh, okay.
Daniel Drake did most of the porting, and I helped him a little bit. But I guess one of the things that we're thinking in there, we have Python, which is a huge payload. Because we do a lot. The things we do a lot in here. So we added a module that says, a Draket module that says, oh, bring in Python and bring in all these bits of things. One of the questions is how we get rid of Python, because what's killing us is the decompression time. You know, the init RAM phase has to be read and decompressed.
One question, why do you use an init RAMFS anyway? You have the same hardware.
Because from the init RAMFS, we do we have logic that handles some of the anti-theft features.
Oh, okay.
If you're UY and you're handing out a 250,000 machines to kids in primary school all running Linux, you want to have an anti-theft scheme.
But you stripped all kernel modules anyway. The big thing is Python. in your case.
Yes, our problem is Python and a bit of Python
code. Just replace the Python code with whatever in C code.
Part of our drama is the Python code. We should rewrite it in C, but you know, maybe we
And you can get rid of most of the drivers.
And even the modules, you know, just to reduce footprint.
To just specify the exact list and to build the image ready.
We are in trouble. As
get,
usual.
Get help. Yes, please.
What other solutions have you evaluated before creating Dracut? And did you?
I know we. When I came in, it was already. The decision was already made to build it. Okay. So I just extended it or make it work. And we know there are Debian packages now of Dracut, Gentoo packages, I think. Ubuntu might want to use it.
Yeah, because
OpenSUSE might want to use it.
Why I'm asking, because we have actually implemented a similar solution for our distribution, Arch Linux, which is called makeinitcpio, which is also a modular system for creating init RAMFS.
Does it use UDEV?
Yes, it uses UDEV inside. Previously it used KLIPC. Now we just a couple of days we've done a new version that uses just GLIPC with BusyBox, because KLIPC is very hard to maintain with all those patching and all that stuff.
Also, a reason why we don't use BusyBox or something like that. We just use the packages which are installed on the system, which are maintained, which you don't have to jump through.
Yes, actually, for example, for trip setup and the LVM stuff, we use the normal packages. Mm-hmm. But for other stuff, to reduce the size and when features of BusyBox are enough, we use it. Mm-hmm. Before that, we compiled utilities from KLIPC project. There is KLIPC extras and other stuff we compiled with KLIPC, but KLIPC itself is very hard to
We didn't want to go into that maintenance hell.
What I'm trying to say is that but since you haven't evaluated other solutions, try to understand what could be benefits for example, using Dracut in our distribution when we already have this solution implemented.
So maybe it has more functionality. I don't know.
Do you intend to make it kind of adopted by as much distributions as possible? Upstream. Suggested method of init RAMFS building. What kernel developers suggest? What kernel developers suggest to use for building init RAMFS?
In the beginning, it was the plan to use that as the standard init RAMFS generator. The people who thought about Dracut, they wanted to even distributed with the kernel.
Oh, okay.
So, whatever. Then I took over and it's now SourceForge project.
See, wouldn't it be better to use KDC? Wouldn't it be better to use UCDC? At least in Java, I managed to, use PCBox linking all the things we need.
Is it that much faster that you want to go to through the maintenance of KLIPC and BusyBox?
No, KLIPC wasn't talking about it at all. It's like I really used the size of the old MP3 to like from 6 megabytes to like 1 megabyte. And also, of course, I switched to
HTML. One of the things we wanted to use the tools which are installed on the system, and BusyBox and KLIPC are normally not used, so we just use the same tools, same thing.
It's not to include the GraalVM at that one.
creates into the kernel like you do in, like if you do a manual one.
Pardon me?
can you build it in into the kernel?
In the kernel? Is that possible?
And then while you compile it, you have an option of, if you have a manual IntDomFS, you can include the IntDomFS in the kernel, so you don't have to specify it. So it goes together with the kernel.
In one image?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it possible to do that with Docker, or is it...
It's just a normal IntDomFS image.
Okay.
Nothing special about it, with CPIO and whatever, and GC compression. Nothing special about the image we use there. So if it was possible before, it's with Dragit, it's also possible.
I have a question about the size. When you use the utilities that are available on a system, the like core utils and all that stuff, mm-hmm. they are usually not that small as in case of BusyBox, for example.
Yes.
So I know that when you add crypt setup and LVM, you have to use these tools anyway. But what's the minimal size of basic initramfs image with UDEV, X4 modulus, and
only the modules the system needs, for example.
Yes.
It's like 4.5 megabytes.
Okay.
Compressed.
You can get 3 megabytes.
Yeah, maybe you can get 3
average,
megabytes.
Average. I did some tests to compare with MK in Italy, and it's even smaller than an MK in Italy image.
Good to hear.
It's just for information, it's not about the size matters.
Do you automatically include the USB modules into your RAM disk? If it's not specified, because if you open a shell and have a USB keyboard, it's sometimes pretty nasty.
File a bug, so we can edit.
Just ask him.
Yeah,
because in the regular init LEDs, it's pretty often left off.
I know. We include USB storage. Okay, but
not for the storage, just for the keyboard.
For the keyboard, I don't think so. I think we forgot about that.
Then about the key.
I can look it up. It's not.
Then about the keyboard, do you have a hook that allows to using non-English characters for passwords, for example? If your root is encrypted with crypt setup, you have to enter the password in non-English characters. Do you have hooks for that in the distribution already?
In Fedora, yes,
oh.
Because we set the keyboard and the layout and everything.
So you just take that part from the init scripts and include it as a hook.
Yeah. Yeah. The configuration for our etc sysconfig i18m and take those parameters, or you can specify them on the kernel command line anyway. Same one. So there's no problem with that in Fedora, but nobody has ported those keyboard setting routines, UDEV jobs to Debian or something like that. I think Gentoo had sent me some patches about other locations. They store their key maps in another location than Fedora does. So we just.
You can also, when I was playing around with MKI, use like dump keys. You can just dump the wallet and it was also a lot smaller if you want to put one size to scroll it here.
Yes, but MK init RD used Nash.
Yeah, but this was me debugging Nash, so replacing it with Visto. So it made it even smaller, so just kept it up. Yeah. Of course, you have to be a bit obsessive.
Do you plan to? Last time I checked Dragut, it was using a dash loop to wait for UDEV to settle, for waiting for the partition to appear, which is a little slow when you want to have a quick boot. And do you plan to replace that with some kind of weight dev-like implementation, which was in Nash? And I think
in UDEV trigger.
Yeah.
UDEV wait. The wait command has a stop if there's a specific file appearing. So this is already implemented. So okay. If you have the /dev/root file, if that is appearing, the whole loop breaks.
Okay, right. Because
so you don't have to wait until the whole thing has settled.
So the last test I did was the drop root was 1 second slower than in K internet, which is quite nice, but it's almost there.
Yeah, sure. Maybe you should retry it.
Yeah.
and use a UDEV version which support that that option for the weight.
Yeah, it was updated with the 0.0.3 version, so probably it's
maybe your UDEV version is too old. I don't know. It has that parameter.
1.5.1. So yes.
Okay, it does. Maybe I can have a look into that. Just ping me on IRC or whatever.
Okay, great.
Any other questions left? Okay, thank you very much.